Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in Paul's first letter to the congregation in Thessalonica, chapter 3, beginning with the 9th verse. This is our second lesson for today, this first Sunday of Advent. Dear friends in Christ, now that Thanksgiving has come and gone, you can really start thinking about Christmas, if you already haven't started thinking about that with Black Friday and Cyber Monday coming up tomorrow. You probably already bought some of your Christmas presents. And there's a whole lot of things to do before Christmas comes. There's all the presents to buy, of course. There is parties you have to attend or kids programs that you go to. Maybe you have to clean your house for when relatives come over. There's a lot of things you have to get done in the next month or so between now and Christmas. And you got to make some sort of plan. Maybe set some goals for yourself to make sure you get everything done in time. For instance, you might say, well, I want to buy all my presents by December 15th. That way I can buy them, I can wrap them, and send them off to some relatives or friends who live in other places. That way they get them by Christmas. Maybe you have figured out a plan already and wrote it down, or for most of it, it's probably just in your head at this point. But if you don't make a plan, if you don't set goals for yourself, well, chances are you might forget something and be caught unprepared by the time Christmas comes. Advent is a season of preparation. We prepare our hearts and minds for Christ's coming, not just his first coming as a little baby born in Bethlehem at Christmas, but also for his second coming on the last day. So today, we come up with a plan to prepare ourselves for Christ's coming. There it is. Second missionary journey, Paul visited Thessalonica. Now, after he was beaten and imprisoned in Philippi, Paul made his way to that city, Thessalonica, and there he entered the synagogue where the Jews worshipped, and he shared God's word with the Jews. And many Jews and a good number of Gentiles believed because of Paul. Because of Paul's words, excuse me. But some of the unbelieving Jews were jealous and upset that people had rejected the Jewish teaching for the true teaching of Christianity, of Jesus as the fulfillment of the Messiah. So they caused up trouble for Paul. Persecuted the Thessalonians and Paul. So eventually, Paul had to leave and he fled to Berea. And there, the Thessalonica Jews followed him to Berea and stirred up trouble for him there too. And then he had to leave Berea. Persecution would remain a problem for those Thessalonian Christians. And it bothered Paul that he had to leave early and that those Thessalonians were still being persecuted. So he sent his friend and companion Timothy to go check up on the Thessalonians and see how they were doing in their faith and in their persecution and to give a report back to Paul. And that report was a favorable one. And for that, Paul thanked the Lord. He rejoiced that despite the persecution and troubles and difficulties that those Thessalonians were facing, they had kept the one true faith and stood firm in the face of persecution. Paul thanked the Lord for that faith of the Thessalonians. But the problem was, Paul didn't get to spend a whole lot of time with those new Christians, with those Thessalonians. He had to leave early because of persecution. There were things that they weren't taught. There were things that they didn't know. There were holes in their faith. So Paul longed to see the Thessalonians again. He longed to see them face to face so he could supply what was lacking in their faith, so that he could share God's word with them, that they may grow in knowledge and in the faith of the Lord. Not that Paul is the one who taught God's word with you. Not that you are separated from someone because of persecution. But the same question could be applied. What is lacking in your faith? What don't you quite understand about God and His Word? Maybe it's a portion of Scripture. Does the second half of Daniel and the book of Revelation cause your mind to spin? Are you able to understand all the prophecies in Isaiah or Jeremiah? Maybe it's a teaching. Does the doctrine of election cause questions in your mind? Are you able to understand everything about the last days, about how Christ is going to come again? As the Thessalonians had questions about. Or maybe it's something a little bit more simple. Bible history type knowledge. Who are the first three kings of Israel? How did Jesus call his disciples? How was Saul converted to Paul? Or basic teachings. The dual nature of Christ. Justification by grace through faith or the vicarious atonement. What is lacking in your faith? What is it that you don't quite understand about God and His Word? Now, if you're honest with yourself, I'm sure there are dozens of things that are going through your mind right now about things you quite don't understand or things you never did quite grasp with your full knowledge. Question is, do you care all that much about it? Do you care that there are things you don't quite understand? And do you care enough to change your plans? To make a goal for yourself? To make a plan, maybe to worship more often, to attend a Bible class, to read your Bible at home? Well, I want the same for you as Paul did for the Thessalonians. To supply what is lacking in your faith. Ultimately, I don't supply it. Paul didn't supply it for the Thessalonians. The Holy Spirit supplied it. As the Word was taught, as the Gospel was heard, the Holy Spirit worked through that Gospel, worked through that Word, and brought people to faith. But it has to come from the Gospel. When Bible class, in worship, and reading your Bible at home, that is how the Holy Spirit works, through the means of grace. And when we fail to be in the Word on a regular basis, well, then our faith and our knowledge of God's Word is lacking. What's the point? What's the goal? What's the plan? Well, the goal is to prepare our hearts and minds for Christ's coming. To increase our knowledge of God's Word and thus our faith in God and His Word before His return. That way, in hardship and in difficulty, maybe even in persecution as Paul and the Thessalonians faced, we will stay strong in the faith. That we will not doubt but believe God's Word. That we will not question Him but remain in the one true Word. So that when Christ comes again, we will not be caught unprepared because we fell to the temptations of the world. The goal is heaven. And everything we do should be along with that goal. So we make it a part of our plan. To grow in the knowledge of God and His Word. We can simply, so He can supply what is lacking in our faith. That's not done by sitting in front of the TV on a Sunday morning. It's not done by working instead of reading His Word. It's not done by hanging out with friends. It's only done through the Gospel. So today we make it part of our plan throughout the rest of our lives to grow in our knowledge and in our faith of God's Word. Right now, the Advent season is a perfect time to start and read God's Word. So He may strengthen your faith. And this way you won't forget the purpose of His first coming was to save us from sin, and His second coming is to save us and bring us to eternal life. Another one of Paul's prayers his hopes, his goals for the Thessalonians is found in verse 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Paul wished that the Thessalonians would show more love to each other, that their love would be great, and not just great, but that their love would overflow in abundance. It's like when you're filling up a pop at a fast food restaurant, and you fill it up too much, and it bubbles over and spills. That's the love that Paul wants us to have, that we would have so much love that it overflow for each other. And that's not the hardest thing to do, even among Christians. Now, you're a sinner who's part of a congregation of sinners. Even your fellow Christians, even your fellow members here at Holy Cross, they might sin against you. They might say something that offends you. They might do something that you don't exactly agree with. They might hurt your feelings. They might not be the most considerate towards you or mistreat you. Love for other Christians doesn't come naturally to us. That's why Paul prays that we might have love that increases for one another. But see, what does our old Adam want to do? Our old Adam wants to get even. Our old Adam wants to hold a grudge. Our old Adam wants to treat others as they have treated us. So we pray that our love might increase for each other. But not just for each other. No, Paul prays that love may be for everyone else. Abundant love for everyone, all people. Even for the neighbor who constantly has it against you, your boss who mistreats you. Maybe for your that person in school who picked on you, or your teacher always had it out for you. For that person halfway across the world who you will never meet. Even for that radical Muslim who wants to see you die in an agonizing way. For all people. Paul wants this love in abundance, this overflowing love for all people. Now, what exactly is love? Now, for a lot of people, love is, it's a feeling. It's an emotion. Many people see love as something you have no control over. It's just a feeling deep down inside of you, like getting the warm fuzzies when you're with someone that you like. How can we have love? How can we have this feeling that we have no control over for someone else? Well, love in the Bible is not a feeling. Love in the Bible is more of an action. It's doing nice things for others. It's not treating them as their sins deserve or taking advantage of someone, but forgiving them and taking their words and actions in the kindest possible way. John, in his first letter, describes what true love is. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So when Paul is praying that we have more love for everyone else, he's not praying that we have a deep-rooted feeling and emotion for all people, but that we treat others the way we want to be treated, that we show love to others just as Christ showed love to us. So the prayer that Paul had for the Thessalonians is a prayer that he has and I have for you, that your love may overflow for one another, and not just for one another, but for all people. Why is that so important, that love overflow for each other? Well, someone can't read your heart. They don't know what your faith is. But our actions indicate our faith. Our actions indicate what is in our heart. Your love for each other, Christians, and your love for all people is an indication of the love that Christ has in you. And that love is seen by other people. And so when you want to witness to other people, when you want to share the gospel with others, they may listen to you, and the Holy Spirit may use that gospel to bring them to faith. We are motivated by the love of Christ. By the love of God in giving up His Son as an atoning sacrifice. By the love of Christ who gave up His life on the cross to save us from all our sins and to give us the gift of eternal life in heaven. The love that Christ has for us as our motivating factor to show love to others. And because He lives in us, we want to show His love in the way we treat all people, no matter how they treat us. And the result of this overabundance of love in our hearts is that we may be strengthened and that you may be found blameless and holy in the eyes of the Lord. Not that you make yourself holy and blameless. Not that when you show love to others, well, now you're holy in the eyes of the Lord. But again, our love for others is an indication of the love of Christ that dwells in our hearts. It's an indication of our faith, and it is faith that receives the righteous robes of Christ that He won for us. That receives the forgiveness of sins and His perfection that He gave to us on the cross. And so we show love to all people with our one main goal in mind. Heaven. The goal of our faith is heaven. Not to have a life, a great life here on this earth. Not to be more abundant on this earth. Our goal is heaven. Without heaven, nothing else really matters. Without heaven, Christ coming down on this earth as a little baby, we wouldn't celebrate it. Without Christ suffering and dying on the cross, without heaven, that's not a big deal. But because He rose from the dead, we know that we too will rise from the dead. Because we know that He will come again and take us to heaven, we do everything with that goal in mind, that our bodies and souls will live with our Savior in heaven forever, even though we die. That's our goal. So we make a plan for ourselves to prepare our hearts and minds for Jesus' first coming to save us from our sins and for His second coming to take our body and soul to live with Him in heaven forever so that we may receive the eternal crown of His righteousness. Now there's a lot of things to do before now and Christmas. So you make a goal for yourself. You set priorities so you don't miss out on anything. The goal in life is simple. To get to heaven. So we set our goals and priorities in line with that goal. You may have a lot to do, things to do before Christmas, but there's nothing you can do on your own to prepare yourself for Christ's coming. The Holy Spirit does that. Through the gospel. So as I've been saying many times over the years, prepare your hearts and minds, or let the Holy Spirit prepare your hearts and minds for you by getting into the Word at home, at worship, and in Bible class. Since the goal of your faith is eternal life in heaven, set your priorities to get into the Word as often as possible so the Holy Spirit can work through that gospel. Let love for each other and for all people overflow in abundance so that they may see your faith and rejoice greatly in their God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that in the end, when the Lord returns to this earth with all His angels, with all His believers, you will join Him forever, pure and blameless, in heaven for eternity. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.